Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter, December wheat 571.5, down 7.5. Soft December, 513.75, down 6.5. December corn, 366.75, down 4.5. March, 379.5, down 4.5. May, 388.5, down 4.25. July, 395.25, down 4.5. November soybeans, 10.32.25, up 1.25. January, 10.29.5, up 1.5. March, 10.33.75, up 1.5. July, 10.41, up 1.5. December soybean meal, 385.90, down 5.80. December soybean oil, 32.41, down 12. December live cattle, 165.60, up 25. November feeders, 237.55, up 102.5. And December lean hogs, 89.15, and they are up 150. Guarantee your seats at our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference on November 24th. We got straight talk from our U of I experts on the ARC-PLC decision, crop insurance, and farmland values in 2015. And all of our on-air analysts will be on hand to bring you the latest on marketing corn and soybeans and cash grain ideas. Get your tickets today for the meeting at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus by calling 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. Tickets are just $25 and include lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, happy Friday to you, sir.
Happy Friday to you, which means Monday is coming soon, and that means crop production and WASDE reports. I'm coming around to the idea, though, that those reports probably aren't going to move the market very much.
I suspect that the trade is gearing up for a bigger supply mindset, and that's why you've seen this week the market really put its focus on giving beans and meal the respect that they need because of the cash situation and the logistical situation and the fact that Decatur has jumped basis, you know, 20 cents in 2 days between Wednesday and Thursday. But they're, I think, a little bit nervous about a supply increase in the corn and more than a little bit nervous about a demand decrease in the wheat market. So I would say to you that it looks like both fundamentally and technically we're in a very crucial point here that the market, especially in the corn, because we have seen the export demand fall back, and we've also gotten news this morning that Argentina is going to release about 8 million tons of corn for export after March, that, you know, the prices are starting to move the demand back some, and it's starting to encourage some competition, that the report for corn is going to be the most important, that if we see an increase in supply and that's not met with an increase in demand and we see ending stocks go up, that I think the corn would probably be primed to lead the beans and the wheat lower. If the corn got a bullish report, though, I think that would be very helpful, and the beans and wheat wouldn't have much problems following the corn higher. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it, especially given the fact that the bottom line from the outside markets is we're at a major high in the dollar against many currencies. The Russian ruble is collapsing at this point, and so I think the currency markets are on very big edge to go into the dollar and drive it as a safe haven even more. And so you kind of have to take out, in my view anyway, the last 3 months of support in the corn market especially has been the investor asset allocation and the wheat as well. That is not as strong of a leg to rely upon when you're building a stool this time around going into the Monday report.
All right, then let's talk about how USDA gets us to bigger supply numbers then, given what we saw last month about population and weight, kernel weight, and perhaps even some ideas that the crop has not been as good the further west and north we've gone, and ideas that maybe we will not see any change in harvested acres this time around.
Yeah, I think it's just simply put a difference of opinion about how the corn is finishing out, and those lighter test weights you're talking about and that shallow kernel depth is not being seen by everyone. And I think this is where we had a 174 roughly yield in October, and the average guess is a bushel above that, and there's plenty of people out there that are 176 plus at this stage. I came in lower at 173.9. I think the big question for me, and I did the same thing with beans, I came in a little bit lower on yield of 47.1 and left the acres alone. The big question for me is, does the USDA recognize what you and I are talking about, or do they go ahead and wait a couple more months before acknowledging it? And the big question for the trader and the analyst out there that has been putting bigger numbers out there on yield is, does the USDA lower, once again, the harvested acreage number for corn especially? And that's really why corn to me is the most important, because it has the most uncertainty to it. And as I said, it has maybe less of a demand support feature that it's had the last couple, 3 months, especially export support.
So the question then becomes, how big of a driver, either upside or downside, could this report be? Which leads to the idea of, do we touch the upside or the downside after the report?
Well, I think the upside potential would be based upon the idea, in my opinion, of the idea that we would have a swing objective higher on a close above the 100-day moving averages across the board. Corn's still straddling that 100-day moving average on the Dease. The Jan beans and Dease wheat are a little bit below it, but I think it's important technically that you get a close above the 100-day moving average post-report in all three of these commodities, because that would say, okay, I don't have to worry as much about my investor allocation issue and the currency markets in the short term. If I could get that, then I think the projection up towards the 405 level in March corn and the projection up towards the 1055 to 1060 level in Jan beans is on the table, and that's not saying much when it comes to Jan beans. I'm actually giving corn a better percentage rally than the beans, but that's because of the technicals and how the weekly charts look, in my view.
What role does South America's producers play in all this, who are reportedly quite behind in their marketing?
Yeah, this is where, I mean, the El Nino issue in southern hemisphere, Brazil in case of beans and wheat in the case of Australia, are major fundamental factors going into the winter time, and that's probably where you would not have as much downside potential if the market was bearish or the supply-demand report was bearish and we came back from the Monday's close in a negative technical sell, maybe the El Nino keeping itself primed in Australia and Brazil would allow for a correction, but it wouldn't be as deep a correction as some would think. And I think this is where the weather becomes, in South America, a much-needed force because of the fact that the gold and the dollar and the crude oil and the equities markets are all now pointing towards deflation. And we've got the European Central Bank ready to throw €1 trillion at the market. We've got the Chinese jumping in and throwing something like $116 or $120 billion of monetary policy into their market. We had the Bank of Japan last week. Essentially, Dave, we're on a whole new round of global quantitative easing. And one of the things I posed on the commodity week this week was, given what we're seeing right now and given what the gold and crude oil have done since the 08, 09, 07 highs, wherever you want to call them, has global quantitative easing by these central banks essentially failed because it has not brought about that demand pull inflation, has not brought about that growing consumption and the rising wages around the world? And I think this becomes a bigger medium-term issue, and this all funnels back into the investor allocation. And so you need something like weather to offset that. Or this morning we heard that the Russian tank columns are crossing into Ukraine again. This is a Reuters report based upon the Ukrainian military. These type of things, these almost black swan type things, are necessary to offset if we lose that demand pull type buying by commodity investors.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. December corn, 366 and three quarters, down 4 1/2. November soybeans, 1030 and three quarters, down 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.